I want to invite you to open your copy of God's perfect and precious Word to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to see how this chapter works together and just make some observations here this morning. The chapter talks about remembering the Lord. It says, remember, remember, do not forget. And the center of the chapter is verse 11. I'll ask you to stand in reverence for the reading of the perfect words of our sovereign God. Let me quickly read the entire chapter and then I'll refer back to it this morning. Deuteronomy 8, beginning in verse 1. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. And He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in His ways and by fearing Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, of springs, flowing out in the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good and that He has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His rules, and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness, with its fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord God makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Let us pray. O Lord, may we remember you today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Remembering is a vital spiritual discipline, but it's one we don't often think about. In other words, we often forget to remember, but we must fight not to do so. Typically, we think about the world like this. We think wealth, prosperity, and ease means the blessing of God. Poverty, hardship, difficulty means the disfavor of God or the anger of God. But the truth is not nearly so simplistic. And remembering God is vital. We must remember God in wealth and prosperity and ease, and we must remember God in poverty, hardship, and difficulty. That's what this section is talking about. And it's talking about the danger that we tend to see the world from ourselves out, our needs out. So we evaluate the world based on ourselves being at the center. So we don't see any purpose to suffering. We don't see any purpose to difficulty. And when we have ease, we tend to say, look at what my hands have done. Look at what I have provided me. It's exactly what the Apostle Paul's getting at in Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, when he says, their end is destruction, and here's why. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things, or temporal things. Their God is their belly. The point is that they are driven by their cravings. They are driven by their own desires. Those desires aren't mediated through anything. They're just simply there. And so when you obey your desires from you out, he says you're in great danger. As I read the chapter, did you notice the key words? There's a few key words that keep showing up. Remember, humble, test you. In fact, the way this chapter works, if you were to draw an X, it works like one half of that X. It starts out with a topic. It works to verse 11, lest we forget the Lord, and then it works its way back out. In other words, it talks about the same thing here, the same thing here, the same thing here, and it's all about verse 11. It talks about them in the wilderness. They are east of the Jordan, and they can see the promised land, but they've been wandering for about 40 years. But they can see the promised land. On the other side of verse 11, it talks about what it will be like when they are in the promised land. And here's the point. On both sides of that, there are tests that demand humility that can only happen if you remember the Lord. In verse 1, it talks about the land, the covenant promise of the land. In verses 17 and 18, it says that He confirms His covenant by bringing them in the land. In verses 2 through 6, it says that they are being tested, that they may know certain things. In verses 15 and 16, it says that they are to remember that they were tested for their own good. In verses 7 through 9, it talks about the land that is promised. In verses second half of verse 12 to verse 14, it talks about after they are in the land and they cultivate it. Verse 10 says, you shall eat and be full. Verse 12 says, when you are in the land and you are full. And all of it is about verse 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes, which I command you today. This is not a call to some legalistic standard of offering God righteousness based on obedience. This is a call to respond to His grace. This people only exists because of the grace of God. And I want you to hear this morning. The call, do not forget the Lord your God, is a call to not forget a person, not a fact. The person who fed you in the wilderness. The person who led you. The person who saved you. You know, when we think about forgetting a person, when we forget a person, we are forgetting the history of what that person has done for us and with us. We lose touch with the story of that relationship. You can do that with people. Somebody can help you out and help you out. And as soon as you get on the other side, you forget about them, you walk away, and it hurts to be forgotten. But what he's saying here is we can do that with God. We forget the story. We forget what He did for us. We forget what He's done with us. The danger is we forget the Lord. And He gives us a powerful reminder here. In verses 1 through 10, the first section, it's about remembering the Lord in the hard times, in the difficulties, when they're wandering in the wilderness, when there doesn't seem to be a purpose to it all. But He is emphatically telling them that they were in the wilderness and He was still active among them because they were not in the wilderness because they were being punished as much as they were in the wilderness because they were being educated. They were learning how to interact with God. They were learning that you cannot live by bread alone, but you must live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Now understand this. He is not saying that you don't have to have bread to live. He's saying the exact opposite. You are well aware when you have the pang of hunger in your stomach that you have to have food to live. You have to have bread to live. But his point is this. If you don't remember the Lord, even when you get the bread, you will boast about it. You will think that it's something you have done. And when you live like that, when you do not have the bread and the stomach is full, you think somehow, some way, that there cannot be any purpose in it. He's saying the exact opposite. The language here about discipline is the same language in Hebrews 12, verses 7 through 11, when it talks about the discipline of the Lord, and it says that God, in verse 7 of Hebrews 12, is treating you as sons. Treating you like His sons whom He has delivered. Remember the Lord in the hard times. As we gather here today, there's a people in this room who have been through some hard times. When I first came to Ashland almost 12 years ago, we had about 230 people, and the church had been through some very painful and difficult days. They had seen friends walk away. They'd had to let go of staff, and it was very, very difficult and challenging. But I remember when I was talking to the search team, and Harold Marshall and Mike McCoy were on the search team, and one of the things I asked them, with all that you've gone through, why are you still at Ashland? And they gave me that look like, that's a stupid question. It's my church. I'm not going anywhere. And they didn't. You know what you call that? You call that remembering the Lord in the hard times. Because if you just simply think about you in a self-referential way, you just go somewhere where it's going to be a little bit easier. But I want you to know that we are here today because there are a group of people who did not do that. I want to do this. If you were at Ashland as a member when I first came as pastor almost 12 years ago, stand up. Without these people remembering the Lord in the hard times, none of us are here today. Let's thank God for them. Then there was another group of people who had been through their own hard times. Been trying to plant a church for several years and it hadn't been going so well, and we met them at a restaurant to talk about it. And we said, hey, we want to help you. Well, what would that mean? Well, we'd come in and it'd be Ashland and we'd rework the whole thing, and it was just a handful of people. And yet, now we call that Ashland in Madison County and we're here. I want you to know that that small group of people we started with out here trusted the Lord in the hard times. In fact, it had to be difficult to ever envision that a day like this out here was ever possible. If you were a part of that group in Ashland and Madison County that we connected with before you officially became Ashland and Madison County, stand up. Not many folks. You see, these people have been through difficult times but did not forget the promise of the Lord. You see, the passage is telling us, we're not going to spend a lot of time here, but that He is testing us. In other words, He's training us. And the hard times come and they are to humble us, not to humble us to discouragement, but to humble us because we think about what God is capable of. Have you ever seen in the Bible that oftentimes the really huge, glorious acts of God usually come in the most difficult and trying of circumstances? There's supposed to be a trip in your brain. When things get hard, you do not say, why has God forsaken me? But you say, what is God about to do? I'm thankful for people that have done that, who've remembered the Lord in the difficult times and humbled themselves before Him and have passed the test in terms of faithfulness. But there's also the other side of that. You see, when you get on the other side of verse 11, it's about remembering the Lord in the good times, because that's equally a test. Now, show you how that works. Look at verse 10. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Looking ahead, it's going to be like that one day. Now, verse 11 talks about lest you forget the Lord. Then look at verse 12. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your hearts be lifted up and you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Do you see it? There's one test in the hard times. And there's a tendency to forget the Lord in the hard times. But when times are good, that's a different kind of test. The danger over here is we say, well, forget the Lord. He's not doing anything for me. And the danger we get over here, we say, oh, God, deliver us, feed us. And He does. And we say, look what my hands have done. It's the danger of pride. The truth is, both of the errors of forgetting the Lord in the hard times and the good times are both a manifestation of pride. Verse 17 puts it so powerfully. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You should remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, and that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. Do you see it? It's the spiritual discipline of remembering. Pride can rear its head in a variety of ways, but the root of pride is always a forgetting of the Lord. Let me put it to you as bluntly as I can. Without God, you would be dead right now. You don't make your heart beat. You don't keep the universe aligned so these bodies work. And without God, you would not only be dead right now, but you would be dead and damned right now. You may work hard and have gotten things by your hands, but you look at those hands and say, God made these hands work so I can work hard. Nothing that we are celebrating today is anything that we have done. We are standing in awe of what God has done. This room today and all of His pouring out of His grace that brought this day to pass is the work of God. The pattern is often this. Won't, when we want, when we're needy, it produces pride. When we first get the sufficiency of God, it produces praise. But as soon as it turns into surplus, it produces pride again. And the only way to avoid that pattern is to remember the Lord, to discipline our minds to do so. In verse 14, it says, He saved you. Verse 15, it said, He led you. In verse 15, it says, He watered you. In verse 16, it says, He fed you. In verse 18, it says, He gifted you. Think with me about that today. Every bit of that applies to us. He saved you? Well, the name Jesus means the Lord is salvation. He led you? Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down His life for His sheep. We know His voice and we follow Him. He watered you? Jesus is the living water. He fed you? Jesus is the bread of life. He gifted you? He is the one who gives grace gifts to His church. When Jesus says in John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing, He means it. You didn't save yourself. You didn't lead yourself. You didn't water yourself. You didn't feed yourself. You didn't gift yourself. Times are good right now. But even if they're not in the days ahead, apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. We must remember. But when we have days like this, where we have much to celebrate, we must remember. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Glory be to His name. man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Jesus was the Word made flesh who dwelt upon among us. He is our living water. He is the bread of life. He is the one who saves, and He is the one whom we remember and praise today. Join me in prayer.